This is the Rugby Odds, where an unlikely pundit panel of a wordsmith, a WWE legend, a rugby star, and a supermodel scour the globe, seeking best bets and bad behavior. Are you not entertained? Yes! Yes, thank you. Thank you. And thanks for being here. Thanks for your support. We have a great show for you. Look in the sponsor opportunity green room. You'll see WWE Hall of Famer turned rugby advocate John Bradshaw Layfield, King Gipte Bailu, back from his safari. Look at the Your Company name here, Slate, and you'll see that we have a very full show, chock full of interesting stuff. And we have George Hook, the Irish rugby legend, waiting in the wings. So let's get to it. Gentlemen, last week we were 51-30. John, what caught your eye last weekend?
Houston was hosting the New England Free Jackals. Houston undefeated. The Free Jackals came in here, and they took it to these boys down here in Texas. They looked really good. It was a great rugby game. That's two of the best rugby teams in MLR. But the Free Jacks finally played like the defending champions. You know, it's kind of like Golden State when you had the Splash Brothers. They didn't play unless they had to, but all of a sudden they're playing the Lakers, they're playing the Clippers, they're playing Milwaukee, they're playing in Philadelphia, they're playing in the Garden. All of a sudden those Splash Brothers show up. New England showed up this past weekend, and they looked really good.
You know, again, we keep talking about it. Every time we say, oh, New England's not good, and they just go out and win, and they win big. Gift.
Let's take it to the other side who didn't show up. The Crusaders. Your Crusaders. Back to their losing ways once again. Got a little bit of a lift in there. Right back down against the Waratahs. Almost feel like they're the anthem of Super Rugby right now.
Anthem. They're the New York Mets contention liners, Matt McCarthy of rugby.
And guess what, guys? I picked the Waratahs this week. So go yourselves. How about that? Okay, no offense.
Oh, so just because you're disloyal, just be you want credit.
No, it's a gambling show, and I read the way things are going. I picked the winner. I picked the Waratahs, okay? Thank you. It's all on Super Brew Rugby Wrap-Up, ladies and gentlemen.
A shout-out to Chicago for keeping the trend outside of one team of over 50 points that John called out over the anthem each game. Score at least 50, and you know you're doing something. Under it, and you got questions, and literally it's proving itself out.
Not that I'm a prophet like King Gipte Bailu, but I did say that they're going to put 30 points total on these boys. Over 30 points they're going to beat them by last week on the show. Chicago's a good, solid team, and they can't take their foot off the gas. That's why I thought they're going to beat this team and beat this team really bad. They're a team to be reckoned with this year. They just hadn't, as we've talked about, King, they haven't got the culture of winning yet. Once they get that, they're going to be good.
No, they're starting to gel. They're starting to explode. They're looking good. But, Gift, you dissed in D.C., and I just wanted to point out a numerical thing about D.C. They've been in 22-22 ties, and they're 2-2-2.
Something about that, Matt. You know, you're the second-best host on this show.
I appreciate that. And as a host, I got a point that we have George coming in 1 second. I just want to make a quick point. In Utah's loss to Dallas, which John and I picked, Dylan Nell for Utah made 30 tackles. Frank Lahore, who led his team in tackles last week for Utah, made another 28. And Paul Asike at center made 20. I mean, those guys were laying some wood. And
if they were playing for the Vodacom Bulls, they'd have to take the next 3 months off.
Yeah. Right. And they'll be out there this week. But another unbelievable stat, Joel Hodgson, in a loss, kicked for 876 meters for Utah. Just interesting stats on a losing side. You get numbers
How
like that.
How fun would it be if he kicked your head?
John, that's not nice. We'll be right back.
Need a great price on a new vehicle? Sheehy makes it easy. Easy Price shows you our lowest prices on the Mid-Atlantic's largest selection. Find your best price online or at any of our 31 dealerships.
It's easy at Sheehy.
If you're in New York City and want to watch some great rugby, have some great food, and some great times, go to the world's best rugby pub, the Pig and Whistle on West 36th Street.
And we are back again with Mr. George Hook. George, welcome back.
Yeah, George Hook. George, we can get rid of that stupid Matt McCarthy. This would be great.
Okay, I'm here.
Good to see you again, George. It's been too long. 2 weeks is too long.
Well, he was here. Where the f*** are you?
Hey, don't worry about it. Just know I miss George the most outside of the chair.
Oh, yeah, that's great. But yeah, George, we got a lot to talk about. One thing that I took away from the weekend was the Leinster players, the match day 23, every single one of them laying their body on the line, a ferocious, ferocious defense. You see guys slamming into these players that are three times the size of them. I'm talking about Byrne. He's the skinniest guy on the field. Dan Sheehan taking on Antonio with a full head of steam, or Skelton with a full head of steam. Meanwhile, the French teams, Bordeaux and Toulouse, kind of had a disregard for defense, and they were content on scoring a boatload of points. It bit one of them in the ass. Can the French just outscore everybody? Can Toulouse just outscore anybody? And can Leinster keep the defense up?
None of it is a surprise. That's the first thing. The great Brian O'Driscoll, I think, got it wrong a couple of weeks ago, where he said Leinster's attacking shape had gone because they'd lost Stuart Lancaster. And the inference was that Ian Eibar isn't, you know, going to change that. Now, he's only there a wet week, and look at what he has done to Leinster's defence. And I think you have to. It's not a coincidence that the best defensive country in the world, South Africa, he arrives and Leinster's defence gets better. I mean, that's not coincidence. That's point one. Now, the second point to your Toulouse-Bordeaux, but that's the French, like, forever, the French have been like that. You can go back to the first ever World Cup in 87 when they won a miracle semi-final against Australia. They based their game on attack. And what's wrong with that? You know, that's in their psyche. So I don't think, I wasn't surprised at all. No, I'll give you this, Matt. I was surprised at how incredible Leinster defence was. You couldn't be but surprised. Ooh. It was extraordinary. I grant you that. But I'm trying to explain where it came from. It just didn't happen when the referee blew the whistle at 3 o'clock. The other thing that's lost slightly in all this is the outstanding performance of the fly half, Frostburg. Oh,
man.
And he's following Johnny Sexton, which means every time he walks on the pitch, there's 30,000 people saying, Johnny isn't here today. Yeah. I thought he was super.
But George, I have a question for you. Look, we had a great game with Bordeaux and Quinns. A terrific game. Looked like we're going to have a great game also with Bulls and Northampton. Then Bulls decides not to send their A-team. They didn't send any Springboks. They sent their B-side. In my opinion, you've made a complete mockery of the entire Champions Cup, of rugby, a professional sport, of all the fans paying money that come to see it. This is absolutely disgraceful to me. I think Bulls should be ashamed of themselves. And so I have two questions. One, do you agree with that sentiment? Maybe not as strong as I feel. And two, if you do, what do you do about it as a governing body?
Well, I think if you want a short answer, I don't agree with you. So we start from the position that I don't agree with you. Here's why I don't agree with you. With righteous indignation about cheating the fans and destroying the competition and all this, teams have been putting out B teams in these competitive rugby games for at least 10 seasons, okay? Perhaps not at such a crucial stage.
Quarterfinal.
The idea of B teams turning up is not new, point one. Point two, Jake White's the coach. And he said that he made a mistake last year. He didn't rotate the squad and he had to rotate it this time. Three, White said that he had injury problems. So we don't know. If he says Mickey Joe Malarkey has a strained hamstring, we don't know that. You know, when he said medical advice was that they mightn't be fit for the game if we flew them. You then read that of shambolic travel arrangements. So everybody's got hysterical about this.
And hold on, let me piggyback that, George. You know, if I'm paying all this money to fly over there to watch this game and I'm paying for hotel rooms, I'm using Irish Rugby Tours, of course, to save the money and get a better travel arrangement. But I get over there And all of a sudden, I booked this months in advance, and there's a B team playing in a quarterfinal. That's bulls. That's what that is.
Watch your language. Watch your language.
Sorry, I get emotional.
I actually, kidding apart, I have a lot of sympathy for the arguments put by my colleagues across the Atlantic. I have a lot of sympathy for that. I'm trying to say that because the final part of John's question was the crucial one. What happens now?
Correct.
Right? Therefore, what happens now is South African rugby has to launch some kind of investigation into this and come up with an answer, because whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, it has damaged, there's no doubt that it has damaged the competition.
Absolutely.
There could be a team. Now, however, what are you going to say if, you know, the professor of orthopedics from Johannesburg University comes up and says there was 11 guys with strained hamstrings in the pajama.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, there is a thing in jurisprudence, right? And it's called you are innocent until proven guilty. And I'm prepared to
not give, on this show, you're not.
I'm prepared to give Jake White the opportunity to plead his case in front of his bosses and see what happens.
What do you do about it, though? I guess is the biggest question. Forget it, right, wrong, or indifferent. You're correct. Something has to be done about this. We had this problem in North American sports. Guys were sitting out in games and they're calling it load management. They'd always get some doctor who would say, oh, it's best if they don't play. You can get a doctor to say basically anything if you pay him a little money and you're his client. But the NBA had to step in with some of these players and say, we got to have guys playing, at least guys showing up to games. Does rugby have to do something like that? But to save the competition, to save the fans coming out, does rugby have a role to play in this?
The other thing you say, which I think is important, there are two competitions involved. There's another competition still running, the URC, right? In which the Bulls are seriously interested, right? Now, it is our considered opinion, in our wisdom, and a substantial proportion of the media, that this competition is bigger and more important than the other competition. Now, while White may well have decided, and I'm not inside his head, he may well have decided, I'm going to trade this competition for that competition because I can't win both of them. And I think managers, coaches have done that sort of stuff before.
Effley Bailey in defense of Jake White here, ladies and gentlemen, in the name of George Hook. Gift, hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come back with Gift right after this. You need your cleats. You need them tomorrow. If you order today by 3 p.m. New York time or noon L.A. time, they can have them to you tomorrow. Young, old, male, female, if you're playing on turf, if you're playing on grass, if you're playing in the rain, you're playing in the heat, they've got you covered. RugbyNow.com. Go there now. And we're back. A Gift. We didn't hear from you last night. I know you're champing at the bit. So what do you got to say?
Well, we kind of touched on a couple of the things, but this also relates to Jordy Barrett going to Leinster as a loan over these next 6 months.
It starts in December, that loan.
It starts in December, but it's 6 months, whatever. He's leaving Super Rugby and the South Pacific to come up to Ireland. And it kind of speaks a lot of volumes to what we have with this situation. And you kind of spoke on it where we have these two competitions, in reality, three of them. We got URC, European Championship, Top 14.
Premiership.
From your perspective, as we continue to see these leagues try and find relevance, and now we have the revelation of the World Club Rugby World Cup that's about to happen as well, what one of these competitions legitimately actually have the greatest level of value? It feels like, even though we're not saying it, Jake White has said URC has a heavier possible check to it, or at least a heavier importance. But if we're having these multiple ones, where are you seeing that the competition seems to have the most impetus with the audience?
I don't know. Because, I mean, the latest thing, the World Club Cup, like, is a whole load of horse manure. I mean, players can only play so many games. And, like, certainly if they're French, the French clubs are having them playing rugby from the middle of August to the middle of June. You can't do it. So I don't know. I wish I knew. Because the Irish are the great Europeans, like we were the ones who believed in the Euro before any other country in Europe did. We're just real Europeans. So we think this European thing is terribly important. And the reason it's terribly important is we do very well in it. So that immediately says it's very good. But then, like this weekend, don't forget, Ulster get hockeyed this weekend. Connacht get beaten by John Leafy's beloved Benetton, right? So the thing is that the multiplicity of competitions for the ordinary person, like you can't forget that we are experts, all right? A lot of people might think we're not experts, but to be fair, we know more about this than the average person simply because we watch it all the time, we read about it all the time, we study it all the time. The average person who buys a ticket, you know, what's he going to do?
All right, last question, George, before you go. Just a quick answer because we're out of time. But will Leinster put out a decent side in the URC competition this weekend?
Probably not. Like, why not? You know, they'll certainly say we're looking at Ross Burns' legs, his hamstring is tweaking, we're looking at Gary Ringrose's shoulder. I looked at the medical chart this morning. There's 7 Leinster guys that are injured.
Oh.
And they won't play. And also, don't forget, there are strict rules about how many games they could play. So if we added them up and we had access to the stats, maybe they shouldn't be playing next weekend. But nobody's panicking when next week Dan Sheehan isn't playing. But let me tell you something. If you want real stuff, when Leinster play in the semi-final, they're not playing the RDS, they're not playing in the Aviva, they're playing in Croke Park. We're playing in Croke Park where the British Army drove in and machine gunned the players and the people on the terraces, right? In the War of Independence. And the Gaelic Athletic Association for the best part of 100 years would not allow its members play soccer, rugby, hockey, or cricket. They wouldn't allow them watch it. So what you're seeing, if you have a sense at all, and for your Irish-American audience, Croke Park isn't just Croke Park and Leinster playing. It's still a wonderful emotion there. It says a huge amount of Ireland as a country and as a people. The Gibbs question is fair, and my answer is I don't honestly know. I really don't.
I'm not disagreeing with you, George. I'm just thinking that some of this has gone too far. And I think that you have an obligation to the fans and people to the game to get out there. If you can play, to play. I think guys should have that in their heart. They should want to play.
All right, fair enough. And we're looking forward to that Irish Rugby Tours trip for the three of us over to see Leinster at Croke Park. That is going to be awesome, guys.
I'd love to see Leinster at Croke Park. I know Leinster's awesome, man. They're so
fun. I'm in.
One of the most dominant teams in the world today of any sport.
On that note, we're out of time for this segment. Thank you to Mr. George Hook. Thank you, George.
All right, George Hook was here. Yes.
Let's go to the URC while you guys.
Yeah, my orthopedic just called. I had surgery 20 years ago. I can't do the rest of the show.
That really bothered you, and rightfully so.
They had no pride. Other than that, I'm sure they're fine individuals that I don't want to be around.
Who do you like in the URC?
Benetton's had a good season so far. They won big last week in the Challenge Cup. I think they win at home, and I think they cover against a pretty rotten team in the Dragons. Dragons are just not that good. 12.5 points. Take Benetton.
Bulls are about to seek so much vengeance and retribution on this Munster team at home. It's not even going to be funny. This is a team that is dealing with all the scrutiny, and now Jack White is going to be like, all right, guys, we got our target. I feel bad for Munster in this. Look for the Bulls to absolutely smash on this one and absolutely show out. Show out fully.
Oh, John, you're back. You're back in the Bulls after their Bulls.
Absolutely. I think these players are getting bashed by the media, as they should. They're going to come out these Springboks, and I think they're going to absolutely roll them boys from Munster. They're going to mollywop them.
Absolutely.
I like Munster with the 10.5. You want a piece of this, Layfield?
A piece of what?
A piece of me with 10.5?
A Brazilian dollar? What do you want to bet?
I didn't think so.
I just asked you what you want to bet. That was accepting your wager.
One American dollar.
Brazilian.
No deal. I'm going to go with...
Coward. What, your orthopedic surgeon calling? You can't bet?
I have a toothache. I can't bet. I'm going with Ulster, who was...
Man, if I was in that head, I'd be aching too.
It's really not nice. And we're going to move on. I'm going to go to with Ulster. I know it's a lot of points, 12.5 versus Cardiff, but they were absolutely humiliated by Claremont last week. And they're home, and they're ashamed, and they're going to take it out on Cardiff. Let's go to the MLR, Major League Rugby. And our picks here are from our TRO staff. Who do you like, John?
San Diego. I want to give these guys a little message down there. Do you know you can play the first half if you want to? You really can. And you guys wouldn't have to come back from behind so much if you played the first half. Look, San Diego's a good team. They showed that in the second half against NALA. They beat a really good team, NALA, coming from behind. I think San Diego got Utah coming in. Utah's having some problems. I think San Diego beats these guys and beats them quite easily. San Diego -8.
I'm going with Chicago -6 versus a banged up, depleted Los Angeles side. Gift, I skipped over you. Who do you like?
Look at New Orleans Gold jumping back after an embarrassing loss last week against my embarrassing loss last week and jump back against this Miami Guppies. I don't consider them sharks until they actually learn how to win consistently. Right now, Gold over Guppies. My New Orleans at home.
Gold over Guppies. Bam!
Gold Boom. Over Guppies. Hashtag gold over Guppies. Gift a Bailu. Okay. All right. Let's move on to Super Rugby.
Give me the Reds -8 over the Highlanders.
Ooh.
Reds -8 over the Highlanders. Gift?
Man, look at the Hurricanes. Oh, 12, -12.5 over for G and Drua. Even if they're at home, I think the Hurricanes are just powerful right now.
Ooh, you stole my pick. So I'm going to have to go with the Blues. -10.5 versus the Brumbies. The Brumbies are the best of Australia. That's a lot of points. Well, I'm going to go with the Blues. I'm going with the Blues at home in Auckland.
Let's you know, Ireland used to be blue. That was all their national colors under Henry VIII.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with the Premiership, NRL, and Top 14 before our pick of the week and going home. Right after this. Hey, U.S. fans, you can tune into every match live on Flow Rugby. How do we know that? Because we're on there all the time. From New York City comes America's longest running and most popular rugby show. The biggest names in Major League Rugby, MLR highlights, and big match previews. Rugby Wrap-Up presents MLR Weekly, made in New York City. We are back. Let's finish this up, guys. The Premiership, they're back in action as well. John, who do you like?
Exeter played a very physical team last week. No way that they're up 100% against Bath with Finn Russell. Give me Bath -1.5 against Exeter.
We got to know if Russell's healthy or not, because he did go out.
I'm assuming he's playing. He's a tough guy. He's not going to pull the orthopedic. I have a sniffles that can't play for the next 3 months.
No, but if he can't play, you're not going to take Bath. Is that what you're saying?
If he can't play, I would not take Bath. He's that important to the Bath team. Finn Russell is one of the best players in the world.
Fair enough. Gift.
Northampton last week beat the Western Force version of the Bulls. And I think it's going to be another repeat. I think Leicester is just significantly weaker than Northampton. Northampton with the 6.5.
I know I'm going to regret this pick, but I think it's too many points that Bristol is giving to Newcastle. 21.5 points. Newcastle, I have faith in you. Don't let me down, Newcastle. And the NRL, the other code down in the Southern Hemisphere. John, who do you like?
Who do you think? The Manly Sea Eagles. Give me the Manly Sea Eagles. Say that name over and over and over with a little gravel, a little bass in your voice. Give me the Manly Sea Eagles. How about that? Manly Sea Eagles. -8.5.
Check this out. I'm looking at the Sharks at the top going up against the Cowboys, and the Cowboys are going to cover that 2.5 points. Look for the Cowboys to keep this close 1-point game in the match for top of the league.
You've taken a 2.5-point spread and narrowed it down further.
Because this game is that important. Cowboys are really making their push, but Sharks, honestly, hey, give them their credit where credit is due. But the Cowboys are not one to be played with.
So you're saying this is going to be a 1-point game. You're saying it's going to be a 1-point game.
Yes. Or a win by Cowboys. Okay. No. Coverage.
Simple. Listen, okay. Matt. Follow.
He did say by a point. I mean, he said it. I'm going to go with the Eels -7.5 versus the Dolphins. Let's go to the top 14 where nobody seems to care about any games on when you're playing, but the fans love it. John, who do you like in the top 14?
Give me Clermont against Bordeaux. Bordeaux plays that great game. It was a classic last week in the Champions Cup. Hard to play two games back-to-back, emotional like that. I'm not sure they're going to play all their players. Give me Clermont, not to win, but to cover the -10.5.
I got to take it down to the game that I think probably means the least out of any of them. Toulouse versus Toulon. Look for Toulouse to cover. I don't even have much more. It's even it ironically as them on the road. Look for Toulouse to lazily cover in this game.
All right. I'm going to go with Stade Francais at home -10.5 versus Bayonne, New Jersey. Picks of the week. John.
What a great game of rugby between the Free Jackals and Houston. It was a complete difference in the way teams play. Free Jacks, Reese McDonald, they play a lot of finesse. They have a lot of breakaways. Houston just beats you up and comes at you. I mean, it's just brutality. I think Houston comes up to Old Glory and uses that still same type of straightforward tactics coming at them. I think they're too much for Old Glory to handle. So give me Houston covering the 8 points at Old Glory.
Gift.
Hey, look, man, I'm switching it up. You tried to stop it before, but it's making too much of a charge. I'm looking at England versus Ireland in the Women's Six Nations. And that's a game that it does have a betting odds. And, I mean, I'm giving this one to England. I mean, England's going to absolutely beat the crap out of Ireland. But Ireland just beat the crap out of Wales. So, like, I feel like this is the nice rotation of colonialism within the island itself.
Fair enough. I'm going to go back to the URC. I like the Lions and Leinster doing the over, and I like Leinster as the favorite getting 1.5 points. On that note, I want to thank the WWE Hall of Famer, John Bradshaw, Layfield turned rugby advocate, King Gift A. Bailu, the inventor of words, George Hook, the Irish rugby legend. Thank you for tuning in. Please check out our other shows, including MLR Weekly, the College Rugby Wrap-Up. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Join our weekly newsletter, and please join our American Red Cross.
Would you wrap the show up?
Blood donor team.
This is awful.